Hello everyone and welcome to Orbital, the Gadgets 360 podcast. In today's episode, we are going to be talking about the OnePlus Nord because that's the hot topic of the week. Reviewer Royden Serejo is here with us, who's also the deputy reviews editor at Gadgets 360. Welcome, Royden.
What's up? Hello. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's great to have you. At this point, I'm pretty sure you must be completely tired of OnePlus Nord given the number of stories you've written about this and the in-depth comparisons, etc. that you've done.
Absolutely, but you know, I mean, it's nice to see that, I mean, OnePlus's offerings are generating this kind of hype after a while, because a lot of people have been asking for a budget OnePlus phone, and then now they've finally delivered it, and the excitement seems to be genuine, so it's all good, I guess.
Yeah, true that. So, I'm your host Pranay Parab, and just to give you a bit of context, Royden has done an unboxing video for the OnePlus Nord, written first impressions, and then done the review of the device, done a comparison with Realme X3 Super Zoom, and also done a tips and tricks video. So all of these things you can find on gadgets360.com and on our YouTube channel. But it's kind of crazy the amount of stuff, you know, one person has pushed out in the past week about one device, basically. So yeah, that's why I mentioned that, you know, things have been a bit hectic for overall. So
oh yeah, absolutely. I'm not disagreeing with that.
Yeah, so just to like give a bit of background on this smartphone. So for a long time, we've been hearing some rumors about this affordable OnePlus device. So even before the OnePlus 8 launched, there were some leaks that had suggested that a new device called OnePlus Lite or OnePlus Z is going to be launching. And they held back the launch of that after the 8 and 8 Pro launch.
Yep.
Because now it's pretty clear in hindsight. That's one of the things we'll discuss a little later. But now it's pretty clear that once the Nord has launched, it has completely like stolen the thunder of the OnePlus 8. So had they launched it at the same time, OnePlus 8 would have been dead on arrival. But you know, at this point, it's those who bought the 8, like they didn't hurt the sales of that. And obviously, the Nord is going to fill a different niche in the market right now. So the OnePlus Nord is a smartphone that is, I think it's taking OnePlus back to its affordable smartphone roots. Now, I know this is a bit of a stretch to call like a phone that costs 25,000 rupees affordable, but in the world of OnePlus, that is probably like as good as it gets in terms of making a phone more affordable. Because this is a company that has slowly been increasing the prices of its devices over the course of the last many years. So the first OnePlus phone launched at around 25,000 in India, and then I think they launched another variant at 22 of the OnePlus One. And then they launched a budget phone called the OnePlus X, which was around 16,000 rupees, I think, way back when. This was in 2013 or 14, I don't remember.
Yeah, around that time, I think.
Yeah, so after that, I don't think OnePlus ever reduced the prices of its new devices as such. You may have seen like one or two new phones coming in at like the exact same price as the previous variant. I think OnePlus 7 was one such example. But then over time, we've seen the price of these OnePlus devices going from like 25,000 or thereabouts to now 42,000, which was the starting price of the OnePlus 8, and 54,000 for the OnePlus 8 Pro. So 55,000, yeah, if I'm not mistaken. So now the OnePlus Nord comes in at less than half the price of the OnePlus 8 Pro, which is why a lot of people were very excited. They also did the marketing for this one pretty well, in my opinion, by dangling that carrot in front of people by saying 25,000 rupee phone, and then saying that 25,000 rupees variant is launching in September, and the one you're getting right now is the 8GB RAM and the 12GB RAM variants, both of which are under 30,000 rupees. So all said and done, now what do you think about, you know, this whole OnePlus Nord entering in that sub 30K segment? Have they like revolutionized everything here, or is this just a good value for money phone at a good price?
Yeah, I think the OnePlus Nord is definitely a good offering. I'm not sure if it revolutionizes anything, but I think it's just hyped up a lot more than it should because of OnePlus's marketing. I mean, we've seen it before. They have a very good marketing machine, which tends to, you know, generate a lot of interest and a lot of hype for something that might not be as groundbreaking or revolutionary than it makes it out to be. But in case of the Nord, I think it does have some special or unique features which kind of makes it special in that price segment. You know, it is the only phone with 5G under 30,000 rupees, and I think that kind of makes it unique, even though 5G is not going to be relevant in India probably for another year or even more. But the fact that you have a phone today which will work as soon as 5G networks are rolled out. You don't have to buy a new phone to get 5G speeds, I think is kind of a good bonus point to have. So yeah, overall I think it's a solid phone. And I think the reviews, not only from us, but I think from pretty much everyone, says the same thing. So you should definitely be considering the Nord if you're shopping in the, if you have a budget of between 25 to 30,000 rupees, you should at least definitely consider the OnePlus Nord.
Yeah, true that. I mean, I was looking at your review and the video that we did, and in that it's
Yeah.
pretty clear that you can get a reasonable level of performance here, even if it's not gonna be blazing fast as you would want from a flagship device. But in the 30,000 rupee price range, the 765G seems to be performing fairly well. Most people will not even notice that it's not as fast as the 800 series processors that you get in the market and in phones such as the Realme X3 Super Zoom, for example. And the other thing I noticed was that the camera performance was surprisingly good. I mean, I wasn't expecting it to be at this level, considering that it is ahead of the Realme X3 Super Zoom in most aspects except for the telephoto camera. So that was a bit of a surprise for me, because traditionally, I mean, we've spoken about this before also, right? Like, OnePlus has been struggling a bit, I can say that, with the camera. With the OnePlus 8 Pro, they did a phenomenal job, but all other smartphones we've seen, the results have not been that great compared to what you can get at the price.
Absolutely. I mean, if you look at the past OnePlus phones, when they launch them, the cameras are not great, but over a period of time, they do kind of improve with, future firmware updates and software updates. And I'm guessing it's going to be the same thing with the Nord as well. Not that the out-of-box camera experience is bad, it's very similar to the OnePlus 8. And by saying that, I mean it's good. Like, if you have good light, if you're shooting mostly in daylight, you can expect relatively good shots pretty much all the time, whether you're using the main camera, the wide angle camera, macro camera, or whatever. You can expect good quality shots. But I am really happy that they finally upgraded the selfie cameras, because that was the one of the sore points that I had with the OnePlus 8 and the 8 Pro. Two really great phones, but it was the same selfie camera they've been using since the OnePlus 7, which was quite disappointing. And they finally fixed it. I mean, it's a new Sony sensor. And what's also really surprising is that their budget phone is able to shoot, at a 4K resolution and 60 FPS with the selfie camera, whereas the 8 and the 8 Pro are still stuck at 1080p, which is kind of weird and also funny at the same time. But yeah, had it not been for the selfie camera, probably I would have probably had to would have to drop the rating a bit of the cameras, but I think that kind of saved the day. So overall, yeah, low light performance is still a bit weak, but I think most people are going to be happy with what they get out of the cameras.
Yeah, so the rest of the thoughts about this smartphone, people can go and read the review on gadget360.com. So over here, what I want to focus on mostly is, first of all, that OnePlus 8 debate. Now, I think a lot of people were worried when they saw the price of the OnePlus 8, because it was 40K plus, right? So that becomes a bit too much for a starting price. I mean, for a device that is supposed to be value for money. So they were rightly worried, in my opinion. And in this case, now the OnePlus Nord gives you, in my opinion at least, 80% of the features of the OnePlus 8, or maybe even more. You may not get that flagship level performance with the Snapdragon 865 that you have in the OnePlus 8, but that's not a huge problem for most people. The software experience is more or less consistent, and from what I can tell, the selfie camera seems to be better. So I'm actually not entirely sure why anybody would want to go for the OnePlus 8 now.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I completely agree with you on that. The OnePlus 8 wasn't, a great. It was a good phone, but at that price, it definitely wasn't something that we've not seen before. Like, it was just maybe a notch better than the 7T, the OnePlus 7T, which is now selling for, I think, around 35,000. So again, even if you compare the price premium between the OnePlus 7T and the 8 didn't really offer that much value. And right now, when you look at the Nord, which, like you said, offers almost 80 to 85% of the features of the OnePlus 8, there's even lesser reason to even consider the OnePlus 8 at this point, because for a price gap of almost, I think, 18,000 rupees premium that you're going to be paying for the OnePlus 8 compared to the Nord, the only thing you'll be really gaining is, let's say, a slightly slimmer body with a metal frame versus plastic. The display, I would say, is marginally better. If you again, if you compare them side by side, but I don't think most people will really notice that. And of course, you get stereo speakers on the OnePlus 8, which you don't on the OnePlus Nord. And finally, of course, it's the chipset. Like you have an 800 series versus a 700 series. But everything else is there. Like the Nord offers pretty much everything else. You get the same 30 watt fast charging. You get a good. You get an AMOLED screen, so they haven't compromised there. And performance generally, Oxygen OS feels just as snappy and smooth as the OnePlus 8 because both of them have the 90 Hz display as well. So you're not really gonna gain too much by switching to the 8, especially one now that the Nord is out here under 30,000 rupees. So that makes it a very tough sell. I don't think a lot of people are gonna, you know, go for the 8. But this also has me very excited for what they're gonna do with the OnePlus 8T or the 9 if they decide to skip the 8T altogether, because that will probably have much more significant changes, and that might or should be the one to look out for rather than the 8.
Yeah, I mean, it's basically been like 2 years where OnePlus is probably going to. I mean, I can't say that for sure, but anyway, the point I was trying to make was that last year we saw that the OnePlus 7 and 7 Pro launched first, and then the 70 came along and it had like almost all the features that you had on the 7 Pro, right? So then the 7 Pro became completely irrelevant unless you wanted that pop-up selfie camera. So there was that. And this year, I think we'll see something similar, like you said, with the OnePlus 8T. I think that there is a pretty good chance that OnePlus is going to launch a smartphone that is going to cannibalize the OnePlus 8. I think there won't be any reason for people to look at the OnePlus 8 after the 8T comes along. And even some of the features of the 8 Pro, I think, will come to the 8T eventually. That is my guess right now. So that IP rating and, you know, I think wireless charging is also there on the 8 Pro, right?
8
So,
Pro, yeah.
yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they bring those features to the 8T and bump up the price further.
But the thing is that, you know what, I given the fact that the 8 and the 8 Pro, the sales of them were delayed quite a bit because of all the whole COVID situation right now, there is a good chance that they might skip the T series altogether and probably just go directly with the OnePlus 9 or even postpone the T series launch to next year. That is a possibility because it just seems like too soon, because they normally would launch the main number series in around May, and then you had a good gap of you know, like 4 or 5 months before you got the T versions of those phones in, let's say, September to May, you know, starting of October. But now the fact that the 8 and the 8 Pro were delayed, the sales were delayed till, you know, they only started in June somewhere, if I'm not mistaken. I think it is possible that the T series, if there is even going to be an 8T series, it could be delayed, just like, you know, how we've also recently heard that the iPhones are probably delayed and they're not going to come in September. So I think a lot of it could be pushed maybe a month or two beyond. But I wouldn't be surprised if they skip the T series altogether this time and just directly release the 9 a little earlier next year. That is something they could play at.
Yeah, I mean, everything is up in the air right now, obviously, because of the current pandemic and, you know, other real world problems like supply chains not being, you know, at their maximum. So, I mean, I agree with you that things could change a lot. But in case they decide that, you know, competition from the ROG Phone 3, which I think already has the 865 Plus, right? Which probably could be really strong, and you could probably see more phones with the 865 Plus launching. And if you've noticed, which I'm sure you have because I read this in one of your articles, that OnePlus has slowly been pushing people away from that whole specification chasing thing, right? Like they've been trying to give like a more iPhone-like experience, and they've been pushing people towards like, look at what we offer as a package rather than what we give in the specs. But whether they like it or not, most of the sales are coming from online channels, and that is where people sit and debate all these specifications, etc. So having
Correct.
an 865 plus phone could be something that they would not want to miss. So they may not launch the 8T, but maybe they'll launch the 8T Pro only as like a, you know, upgrade this year.
Yeah, that is very possible because, like you said, yeah, the T series is definitely going to have the 865 plus. There's no doubt about it. I mean, they've done it in the previous generations as well. They've, you know, taken the faster Qualcomm chip that has usually launched mid-year, So the T series would definitely have the plus variant of the 865. But yeah, like you said, whether they refresh the 8 and the 8 Pro, or maybe just the 8 Pro, or ditch them altogether and simply call it the 9 and the 9 Pro, it's anyone's guess at this point what they do with that.
Yeah, true that. I think let's come back to the OnePlus Nord. Now, first of all, let me just acknowledge that OnePlus launching a device that appears to be great value for money, even though times are really difficult and the supply chains are not up to the mark right now. That is itself commendable. I'm pretty happy that in this kind of a year when most people are either on pay cuts or have lost their jobs and all, OnePlus has not First of all, OnePlus has launched an affordable, relatively affordable smartphone, and they've not launched it at a price that seems crazy. It's actually a very good price. So those things are commendable. But at the same time, I do wonder what's going to happen with OnePlus Nord. Are they going to abandon it just like they abandoned the OnePlus X, basically one launch and then forgotten? Or do you think there'll be more phones in this series and OnePlus will probably try to go into the sub-20 segment also?
No, I think at least from okay, so I think they will definitely not abandon it. I think we should expect a lot more phones from the series, given how the Nord has received very good positive response from media houses as well as people in general. Like, people are genuinely hyped about it. So I don't think they're just gonna abandon it, because they have sort of struck a good balance here between quality, performance, and price. So I think there's a good balance there. And if I remember correctly, in one of the interviews that Carl Pei had recently given before the Nord was launched, he did hint that Nord is just the first product in this new series. So this is like a new concept, a new series that they have come up with, and the Nord is going to be the first phone. It is possible that we will see more phones, like maybe a Nord Lite or something in this series, or even something below that. So now that they've targeted the mid-tier segment, which is 25 to 30,000 rupees in India, based on the response, they could go even lower and target the sub 20,000 rupee segment, where you have all the Redmis and Realmes competing at the moment. So that could be their next step, and I think it would be the next logical step for them to tackle as well. So as and when that happens, I guess we'll have to wait and see. And I'm not sure. There's no word on if they would launch another Nord phone this year, or we might just get, more phones next year itself. So that is just, again, something that's a bit of a mystery, and we just have to wait and see how they play that out.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't want OnePlus Nord to become the iPhone SE of OnePlus. What I mean by that is, one phone launches and then 4 years later we have the next one. So if that happens, then I'll be a bit sad, because honestly, I don't think the economy is going to recover to a great extent even next year. So, having more affordable devices in the market is going to be good for people. And in terms of the sales, I guess good for OnePlus, because I don't see the OnePlus Nord selling less than the 8 and 8 Pro, for example. I'm pretty sure it's going to sell more, simply
Yeah,
because,
definitely.
that brand name and that recognition that OnePlus has built over the years in India,
Yeah.
especially, in that segment, 30 to 50 segment, it is going to carry over. And a bunch of people have been wanting to get OnePlus phones but have not been able to afford them so far, because I think most of their devices have been launching in the 33 to 40 type of a range of starting price in
Yeah.
recent years. So a lot of people will now be able to access these devices. And with that, the major thing to highlight here, which is something we have not touched upon so far, is the software. Now,
Yeah.
OxygenOS is pretty clean. You don't get bloatware. You don't have three different apps doing the exact same thing in the UI. You don't get those spammy notifications, ads, etc. So clean software experience is worth a slight premium, even if you compromise a little bit on the specs. It's not crazy like a Google Pixel level of pricing, right? I mean, the Pixel, if you remember the 3A and the 3A XL,
Yeah.
they launched at some price that I can only refer to as out of touch with reality, based on
Yeah, they
what they were
started at
offering.
40,000, I think, and for a Snapdragon 730, if I'm not
No, it
mistaken.
was 670. 730 came in
Oh,
a
was
little.
it? Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it
Okay,
was
okay.
670, and it had 64 GB of storage, non-expandable.
Yep.
And from what I could tell, right, whoever was launching those devices, they basically just imported the thing from the US. And in the US, they had a very good price, the Pixel
Yeah,
series. But in
yeah.
India, the pricing was absolutely crazy. I just cannot imagine what they were thinking when they were launching those devices. And I don't think it sold very well either in India, the Pixel series. And
Doesn't seem like it. I mean, the fact that you didn't get the 4 So.
Yeah, so that's what I was building towards. That the Pixel 4 did not even it's okay. The Pixel 4 did not even launch in India, right? So they that shows how important the market is. Like they had some radar sensor thing right in there, which is not allowed in India right now. You can't ship devices using
That is
that.
the reason they gave for not bringing it in. But yeah, I don't think it was entirely that.
Yeah, so that's what. So if you look at that, and if you look at what you get in the sense of what OnePlus has been doing with their devices, there's a completely different shift, right? So that's why I don't want the Nord to become, you know, one phone that ships and then there's no follow-up. I really want this series to continue, and if it goes to the sub 20K segment, that's, you know, great, because there'll be more choice and you'll finally get like phones in the sub 20K segment also which have good software. Some people have obviously used Android One phones in that, but I don't believe that that's like the best possible software experience that you can get now, simply because Android One is great for people like us, you know, who are enthusiasts who will configure the device quickly the way we want it. But for a lot of people, not having some basic features built in, like screen recording, for example, that itself can be a big barrier, because then you go to the Google Play Store and then you download some third-party apps that may or may not be shady, and they may not
Correct.
know, you know, whether the data is being used properly or not. So that is not the ideal experience in my opinion. OxygenOS has done it fairly well. They've hit a nice balance in my opinion between giving more features, customizing Android, but there are still like maybe some minor things which you can maybe complain about. I think the dark mode issue is something that was quite funny when I saw it.
Yeah, so to your earlier point, I mean, absolutely. I think the Nord, one of its biggest selling points, beside, of course, the brand name, is, of course, the software updates. Like, we've also seen that Oxygen OS is pretty slick and lean, and OnePlus is pretty prompt when it comes to, you know, delivering updates, whether it is major Android releases or just general bug fixes in general. And the fact that, you know, they've upfront promised 2 years of Android updates and 3 years of security updates is a pretty big deal, because if you see most manufacturers in that price range, in fact, even probably even more expensive than the Nord, like even Samsung, probably don't always they will not always commit to this long-term you know, commitment of software updates. So the fact that OnePlus is offering that upfront is again another incentive to probably look at the Nord. And you know, if they do come with a phone under 20,000 rupees with a similar kind of promise for software updates, I think that'll be an excellent thing. But like you said, yeah, OxygenOS is great, but there are some things where it still needs a bit of improvement, like the dark mode thing, like, which is really annoying, and it's kind of weird that they've not yet implemented it. So basically what it is there is a system-wide dark mode, but of course it's not the Android 10 version where you simply, you know, flip a switch and the things go the appearance goes dark. Essentially, it's a theme that you apply to a OnePlus phone. Now, the problem with applying this theme is that it also has a preset with its own set of icons and fonts and other stuff. So if you've done any sort of customization before, and if you switch to this theme, it'll just basically override everything, and then you need to manually go ahead and change the icons back. And let's say if you don't want dark mode, then you need to apply the regular theme again, which again changes all the icons and the wallpaper and everything, which is just crazy. So that part is a little annoying, but other than that, I think it's a pretty rock solid software, and I think many people are very happy with the software. So
Yeah, so we have a lot of fans of OxygenOS in-house as well. But hopefully OxygenOS 11, based on Android 11, will fix those problems whenever it comes in. OnePlus has been known to like get to these updates really quickly. That's also partly possible because they make so few phones, right? I mean, they have a guarantee of what, 2 years of software updates on the Nord as well, and 3 years of security updates.
Security updates.
Yeah, so hopefully when Android 11 rolls out, which should be pretty soon, sometime in August, I'm expecting it to come to the Pixel series at least. And eventually, maybe in September and all, the Nord will probably get the next version of Android. And with that, maybe this will be fixed. I hope so. But otherwise, fairly solid piece of software and overall a good experience for everyone. So I think with that, I have said whatever I had to about the Nord. Is there anything else you would like to add, or should we, you know, say tada bye bye to our listeners?
Yeah, I think we've said a lot. I mean, if you have if you in case you've missed any of the content that we put out on the Nord, you can, you know, head to our YouTube channel, and as well as Gadget360, we have a whole bunch of videos and articles about around the OnePlus Nord, which should hopefully answer all your questions. And yeah, to sum up, basically, OnePlus Nord is a solid phone. If you are thinking of upgrading from an older OnePlus phone, let's say a OnePlus 6 or even older, definitely consider the Nord. Do not just ignore the fact that it doesn't have an 800 series processor, because really that really makes no difference, to be very honest, with day-to-day usage. So I think you should definitely give this a shot. If you are a long-term OnePlus user and you want to continue with OnePlus phones, I think this is a very good phone to get at if you don't want to pay 40,000 plus on the
All
next OnePlus.
right, I think that sums it up pretty nicely. So thanks a lot for joining us, Royden, and hopefully we'll be doing one more episode at some point in the near future. Although I don't know, like I think after this OnePlus Nord week, you deserve a nice long break
Yeah,
because.
let's lay off the Nord for a bit, I would say.
Yeah, okay. All right then. So with that, we'll wrap this episode of Orbital. We'll be back with one more episode next week. And in the meantime, you can follow us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and Instagram at Gadgets360. You can also rate this podcast, review it, and subscribe to it via any podcast app of your choice. These things, they help us a lot. Thank you so much for listening. And finally, we'll be back with one more episode next week. And in case you have any questions, comments, or feedback, do write to us at podcast@gadgets360.com.